What are the pros and cons of a 457 plan? I'll explain next on Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio with New York Times best-selling author and your host, Doug Andrew.
This is Doug Andrew speaking to you, our incredible national audience, from our three-dimensional wealth studios nestled at the base of the majestic Rocky Mountains. This show is about empowering you, people and organizations that want to optimize their assets, minimize taxes, and empower their authentic wealth. Folks, you may be aware I have a YouTube channel, and it's free when you subscribe. It's called Three Dimensional Wealth, the number three, Dimensional Wealth. And I post an in-depth answer to a financial question almost on a daily basis. And recently, I was asked to do about two or three episodes about 457 plans. Now, if you don't know what that is, or maybe you've heard the term, a 457 plan is similar to a 401k or 403b. But it is a non-qualified plan. So I'm going to explain this because whether you can qualify or you have a 457 available to you, depending upon your employer, because 457s are generally made available to police officers, firefighters, school teachers, professors at academic medical schools, and so forth. But nonetheless, I want you to listen because they have similarities with 401ks and 403bs and the like. And I'm going to explain to you what I feel is far better than any of them, okay? So 457 plans may not be the best choice, even if you have them available. But let's talk about the pros and cons real quickly. Now, a non-qualified plan means that you do not have to abide by ERISA guidelines, okay? And so, basically, when you have 457 plans, there are government and non-government. Most of the time, people choose the government-sponsored plan, which is probably wise because when you participate in a 457 plan, it's like deferred compensation. You're telling your employer, I don't want to be paid this money, defer it till later. And so one of the advantages, one of the pros of a 457 plan is that you can usually contribute up to the maximum amount, which is, I think, $19,500. You know, they raise this, so about $20,000. And you can do that on top of a 403B plan, in other words, in addition to it. But see, the difference is it's not your money. It's the government's money. And so an advantage of a 457 plan is that money that they're deferring, that they haven't given to you yet, is not subject to the claims of your creditors if you went through a bankruptcy or something, okay? A lot of people don't know that. But it is subject to the claims of the creditors of the employer. But a lot of times if you have a government entity, like those that sponsor them for police officers and firefighters and first responders, then it's unlikely that the government entity would be sued or what have you. So a lot of times people feel like, well, the money's a little bit safer there. Now, you're setting aside pre-tax dollars unless you choose a Roth option. There are some Roth options where you pay tax on the contribution and it accumulates tax-free. You can access it tax-free. And you have a limit. A nice pro 457 plans is they have catch-up provisions. So I think after age 50, you can put in an extra like $6,500 on top of the $19,500 for the year 2020. I think it also 2021, I think, is the same limit. And the last 3 years before you leave employment, you can actually put in double that amount. And so they have catch-up provisions and so forth. So those are the advantages. Now, you can access money before age 59 and a half without a 10% penalty out of a 457 plan. If you take money out of a 403B or a 401K, you all know that there's a 10% penalty unless you use what is called a 72T distribution, where you can take out a certain amount based upon a formula and not have to pay a 10% penalty. Otherwise, there's opportunities like during COVID-19. They allowed people to access up to $100,000 because of that hardship out of a 401k without a 10% penalty. And I told many people that might be smart to do that just to get the taxes over and done with. You still have to pay tax, but you avoid the 10% penalty. So you can actually be a first responder for 20 years, and then if you leave that profession and you're in your mid-40s or 50s, you can actually access money out of the 457 plan before age 59 and a half without a 10% penalty if you want, and so forth. Now, what are the disadvantages? When we put money into any type of a government-sponsored plan, like a 403B or a 401K or a 457 plan, I feel that a lot of people sort of get duped into thinking, especially if you put in pre-tax dollars, that that's the best way to save. Oh, you get a tax break on the seed money, so to speak. Because I use the metaphor, if you were a farmer, let's say, and you had the choice of buying your seed in the springtime and you didn't have to pay tax on what you paid for your seed, okay? And you plant it, you irrigate, you cultivate it, and later in the fall, you harvest your crops. And so I'm comparing this metaphor to your retirement savings. You get a tax break on the seed money, the contributions you make. And it's tax deferred. But when you go to harvest your money, when you sell your harvest in the fall of life, now you agree to pay tax. And a lot of people were told that they would likely be in a lower tax bracket when they retired. And that has not been true or axiomatic for more than 30 years now. In fact, it took the financial services industry 25 years to finally admit, wow, most people who have any type of a respectable retirement nest egg are not in lower tax brackets when they retire. And I can count on my hand the number of people who were actually in lower brackets. It's because they didn't save very much. Because most people are going down the highway of life, so to speak, with one foot on the gas pedal and the other foot on the brake pedal, and they don't even know they're doing it. They're putting money in tax-deferred IRAs, 401Ks, 457s, 403Bs, and on. And they're simultaneously putting the foot on the brake by, of course, getting rid of their deductions. They pay off their house. The kids are gone when you retire. If they move back into your house as adult children, you can't deduct them anymore. If you're a business owner, you don't have those deductions anymore. You're not contributing money to IRAs, 401Ks, 457s, 403Bs in retirement. And so many people, even if they have less income, they're paying as much or more in taxes. In fact, the average retiree, the average school teacher will pay back every dime they saved in tax over 30 years on the contributions, the seed money, the first 2.5, 3 years of retirement, and they pay it back again and again and again to where by the time they both pass away, I'm talking about, let's say, a husband and wife, a couple, they will have paid back 12 to 15 times the taxes that they saved over 30 years on the contribution phase. And that's why I usually ask people, golly, whose retirement were you planning, yours or Uncle Sam's? Because they don't realize that the government has a permanent tax lien on that IRA or 401k. Now, people who got smart and realized, you know what, I'm likely not going to be in a lower bracket because I am contributing and I'm saving so that I'll have the same lifestyle. When people realize that in the long run, taxes will usually be higher. When I ask audiences, how many of you feel like taxes in general in the future will be lower? I get nothing but crickets. How many think they're going to be the same? One or two hands go up. How many think they're going to be higher? And a sea of hands goes up. And then I say, so why are you postponing and deferring and procrastinating paying tax on your IRAs, 401ks, 403bs to some future perceived unknown advantage and withdraw your money down the road when you're convinced taxes will be higher? That doesn't make sense. And then they go, I've never thought about it before. And so that's why we teach strategic rollouts. This is not a rollover. This is a roll out. So let me just ask you this. What if you had a 457 or a 403B or a 401k Roth plan where you pay tax on the seed money and it accumulates tax-free and you can access it tax-free? But what if you had a 401k or 457 Roth, but there was no contribution limit? You could put in as much as you wanted to. and you could access the money before age 59 and a half, even in a 401k type of a Roth or a 403b. What if you could access money before age 59 and a half without a 10% penalty? And it grows when the market goes up, but does not lose money when the market goes down. And oh, by the way, if you happen to die, anything that's in the account will blossom, increase in value, maybe double or triple, and transfer tax-free to your heirs, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids. And people say, where can I get one of those? And I go, it's been here all along, and it's what I call the laser fund. Why would you ever put money into a Roth IRA, 401k, 457, 403b, when you can have the two benefits of a Roth and four additional benefits Roths will never have?
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.
Traditional versus Roth IRA and 401ks. Which is better? Welcome back. This is Doug Andrew, Three Dimensional Wealth Radio. If you're just joining us, in the previous segment, I was talking about some of the pros and cons of 457 plans, which are similar to 403Bs and 401Ks. 457 plans are generally offered for government employees like police officers, firefighters, school teachers, and so forth. And they are unique in several ways, but basically, at the end of the last segment, I was talking about whether it's a 457, 401K, 403B, you have two choices. You can either go the traditional route, is what it's called, where you contribute to these plans with pre-tax dollars, okay? Now, it appears as though President Biden wants to change this, and he hasn't done it yet. But up until he does change it, if you wanted to contribute, let's say, 15% of your income and you made $100,000 a year, you could contribute, let's say, $15,000 into a 401k, and that's pre-tax dollars, so you didn't have to report $100,000 of income on your 1040 tax return. You only have to report $85,000, okay? Because it's pre-tax. Now, when you contribute to an IRA, you have to report your gross income on your 1040 tax return, and then you get a deduction if you contribute to an IRA. Does that make sense? And President Biden wants to change 401ks to that method where you report the full $100,000 of income in this example, and then he's going to give you a credit if you contributed to a 401k, but he's going to limit the credit to maybe only 26%, which actually is a tax increase. You lose some of the tax benefit of contributing to a 401k if you make more than middle income to higher income. Okay, this is his indirect way of raising taxes. So whatever happens, that's a traditional type of 401k, IRA, and what have you. Now, back in 1997, Roths were introduced. And by the way, they named it after Senator Roth because the government was hard up for money. They needed some tax revenue. And if you don't understand traditional IRAs and 401ks, it's the best savings bond the government ever came up with for themselves, in my opinion. Because if I were to go into business with you and I said, hey, let's form a partnership. Now, you're going to do all the work. And right now, I want to have a one-third of everything that you will end up getting from this business that you're going to build. And so you can continue to defer and not pay me until the end, and then I want a third. But I reserve the right that if I feel like if I'm more hard up for money than you are, I can change my percentage from 33% up to 40, up to 50, up to 60%. And you're going to do all the work. But listen, if you try to take any money out of this business prematurely, before age 59 and a half, I'm going to not only charge you my share, my third or more, but also another 10% on top of that. But if you don't start giving me my share by age 72, these are called required minimum distributions, RMDs, I'm going to penalize you 50% on top of the tax or my portion. And people say, That's stupid. Now, when they don't know what I'm talking about, they say, who would ever go into a partnership like that? And I went, well, it looks like you have this kind of a partnership. What are you talking about? I just described an IRA or 401k to you. And all of a sudden they go, oh my heck. Yeah, Uncle Sam is your partner. They have a permanent tax lien. They get to call all the shots, and they can change their percentage down the road. Who wants that kind of a partner with your money? And so a lot of times, did you know the government plans their spending, their budget, a big category of revenue, tax revenue that they count on, are the retirees that have to take money out of IRAs and 401ks beginning at age 72. It used to be 70 and a half. And if they don't get their share of that, they'll penalize you 50%. So a lot of people are duped into taking RMDs, which, by the way, I think is probably the worst advice I've ever heard for most people at retirement. And I'll explain that maybe here in a moment. But folks, that's why the government plans on this revenue. And because there is about $30 trillion out there in yet-to-be-taxed IRAs and 401ks. And if you bugger that up by not taking it out, they're going to penalize you. Now, when they get hard up for money, like they were in 1997, Senator Roth says, I've got an idea. People are getting smart. The smart people realize they're not going to be in a lower tax bracket, and it would be better to pay tax on the seed and enjoy the harvest without the tax, so to speak, based upon the metaphor I used in the last segment. And so let's dangle a great big carrot out there to get them to convert to a different approach. And this is going to be called a Roth, after me, he said. And this is where we can get a tax windfall. This is where they will have to pay tax, but then will allow them to accumulate the money tax-free, and they can take it out tax-free down the road. But the government did it for them, not for you. I'm not saying it wasn't a step in the right direction, but if you've heard me on this show, I've stated many times, I've never owned an IRA or 401k. I never will. I've never owned a Roth IRA or 401k. I never will, even though a Roth is a step in the right direction. But if you think taxes are likely going to be higher in the future, I can show you that a Roth with the same amount of money, same rate of return, is probably at least 33% better in providing net spendable income, if you think taxes are going to be higher down the road, than the same amount of money in a traditional IRA or 401k. Now, what's better than a Roth? See, Roths only have two benefits. You put in after-tax dollars. You pay tax on the seed money. It accumulates tax-free, and you can access the money tax-free when you sell your harvest in the fall of life. You don't have to pay tax on what you sell your harvest for. Those are the two benefits of a Roth. Now, I've had those two benefits with my favorite financial instrument, which I call the laser fund, for over 100 years. They've been around a lot longer than IRAs and 401ks, let alone Roths. And it's been a sacred tax-free cash cow in the Internal Revenue Code for over 107 years under three sections of the code that allow me to accumulate my money tax-free. I have to pay tax on the money I put in, but it accumulates tax-free, and I can access the money, all the gain tax-free, but it has four additional benefits. I don't have to adhere to any restrictions on contributions. If I want to put in $30,000, $50,000, $100,000, $300,000 in a year, I can do that. I don't have to put in $300,000, but if I'm a business owner and I have a banner year, I can. But if I only put in $30,000, in other words, I didn't use $270,000 of room in this example, I can make that up anytime I want. I can have catch-up provisions way better than 457 plans, so I can catch up. If I need money, I don't care if I put in money and 4 days later, I put in $200,000 and I need $120,000 back out again, which I had a client that did that. You can access the money. You don't have a 10% penalty. You can access the money if you need it for any reason. There's no penalty or tax on that. Now, a laser fund allows you to use a strategy, one of my favorite, called indexing, where your money is not at risk in the market, but when the market goes up, you get to participate. And this year, we've had people earn 30, 35, even 61.33% and higher tax-free on their laser funds. So you can participate when the market goes up, but not lose when it goes down. And at the end of the day, when you pass away, whatever you leave behind blossoms in value and transfers income tax free.
This is Three Dimensional Wealth Radio.